I'm with the round table. Y'all got the next
Love 60
minutes.
Talk Radio.
Okay, they are definitely giving me a headache. Sports City, forgive me for what's going on with Blog Talk. Yesterday, they gave me a hiccup for a good 45 seconds, had to run into the show. So, excuse me on how we're starting off. Welcome to the round table. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. I swear I could diddy bop to that all day long. That beat just gets me going. But the calling number 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chefs. And I got the round table all set up, man. We are at the beginning of August, and you know, this is the first month, if you will, of some good old football and training camp and preseason, everything going on. But I got a lot of topics. Well, not a lot of topics, but I got issue topics. But we'll get into this as best as we can. I'm ready to put these dishes out. Calling in by way of the state of Georgia. You guys know him as, I don't even know how many nicknames this guy's had or he does have. All I know is he's the Braves fan slash Auburn fan slash Georgia Tech fan slash Cleveland Browns fan slash Atlanta Falcon fan. Well, he has limited time here at Sports City, so I'm going to try and do my best with him. We got Matt in the building. Matt, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling great, Ty. You always fair with me.
Okay. Sports City, he's at a calm right now, so I know
very
we might
calm.
Wake him up a little bit. Yeah, we might wake him up in a little bit. I heard he has a tennis match in a little bit, so I've got to pump up. I got to pump him up a little bit so he can get charged up out there. If not, I want him to lose his match. I just don't want to hear him here game, set, and match again.
Hey, I'm overconfident, but I'm the favorite by a long shot.
Okay, we'll see. Listen, because there's a lot of stuff that you decide to go with, and you end up
and you
falling short.
But,
Hey, I got you. Relax. Let me finish the intro.
Bowl real quick, and you ain't gonna believe it, but I'm gonna try to become a pro.
Wow, this late in the game, he's 32 people. So we'll see if he has it in the bag.
I just wanted
I'll
to throw that out there. It's probably not gonna happen because these guys are so good. But I just want to let y'all know, and if I ever make it, you know, I'll take everybody out to a steak dinner or something.
Okay, well Sports City, he's been challenged in Canada, so I want to see if he takes that one off. But there's a guy in Canada challenging him too. We'll keep a close eye to that. But if you see Matt Sherwood on a TV near you, I'll be impressed. I'll jump on my TV screen. Well, it's a flat screen, so I can't jump on it. Okay, so Chandler, welcome to the round table. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm all right, man. I'm driving right now, so I'll keep it muted for the background noise, but it's good to be here.
Okay, definitely. I got you. I come to you. You stay on point with me as best as you can. I'll try to situate this as best as possible. So, there are two people with issues. Let me say that the right way. Two people with issues right now that are being addressed in two different sports. One, the one that I got awakened about. I really didn't know too much about it, but reading more into it, It puzzled me and shocked me, especially what's going on right now. But Patrick Kane and his situation, they are investigating this further. I don't want to spill too much into it, but he's a big name in sports right now, and I definitely wanted to talk about that. And, you know, a lot of people that actually tell me to speak more on the hockey situation. This is a big name in hockey, especially with them bringing back the Stanley Cup back to Chicago. I want to see how we felt about this. But the biggest name in sports right now that I have to jump into, Aldon Smith, right? Now, mind you, I actually said it was three different instances in the past three seasons, right, that he had going on. One, last year, just last year, this is crazy that this guy is going through this. Last year, he was in the San Francisco airport screaming he had a bomb. Now, mind you, he's in a federal building doing this, right? Now, you know, come to my mind that something is wrong with him. He may need attention, so on and so forth, but I don't want to make it look like he has, because they're saying that he has a disease, so on and so forth, and it could be alcoholism. I don't want to, you know, poo-poo or laugh at that situation, because it's a serious matter at the end of the day. But that's one issue. Then before that, a year before this, which was last season, he had a house party at his house where he got stabbed, and other instances happened at his house. He was suspended for so many games, so on and so forth. And it's like he can't get out of his own way. Now he gets into a DUI situation, not only in a DUI, but a hit and run and vandalizing. And in the wake of this situation that happened, the San Francisco 49ers released the guy. Now, crazy enough, and I don't want to pick fun at the Niners because it's not cool, especially when your team is struggling or going with revamping situations or rebuild, however we look at this situation. But this is what the San Francisco 49ers are faced with. They now do not have both of their defensive ends with Justin Smith. Now, Aldon Smith is out of the way. Chris Borland retired. You have Patrick Willis retired. Navarre Bowman is the lone guy literally by himself. But this defense is completely depleted right now with all of the mishaps and things that are going on all around the San Francisco 49er organization, if you will. Let's get into it. Let's talk about it. Matt, your thoughts on Aldon, or the recent situation that's happening with Aldon Smith right now in the state of the San Francisco 49ers?
It's an interesting topic, Ty. I heard he did an interview when he got released, and he's actually trying to deny the fact that he was driving drunk again. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, this is his third altercation he's had with DUIs. The NFL does not play around with that. He's probably looking at a year suspension. The guy, there's got to be something wrong with the guy, because he used to be one of the greats out there, and he was set up to make a lot of money, like Julio Jones of Atlanta, because they're about the same age, and he was due to get a big contract, but he pretty much blew it all. And if it's alcoholism, the guy needs help. He should be going to meetings, and he should focus on that if he's ever going to come back again, because the guy was a real talent. I think he'll have a chance, and one more chance, but I think they're going to sit him out a year. And it's just a sad situation for San Francisco. I think everything just keeps getting worse for them. And you have to forgive me. I don't know who's coaching them now. I haven't actually kept up with them, because I just don't even think they're going to be play into any equation of even getting close to the playoffs this year. They're going to be a non-factor in the West.
Well, if you're talking about the Niners, it's Tom Sula. Tom Sula is the coach of the 49ers now that Harbaugh is gone from this situation. And like I said, I'm not laughing at alcoholism. I think that's probably the strongest problem in the world. I'm not even looking at United States or in the southern region or West Coast. I think a lot of people struggle with alcohol alone, but for him to be this young, Aldon Smith isn't in his 30s. Like, this is a guy that's young that has to reform himself somehow. Maybe he needs to go to a stronger set of meetings or something. I don't know what would actually channel this the correct way, but he obviously put himself in a troubled situation with the NFL. They have to suspend him. I don't know for how many games. He could run up in front of a full season. Who knows? But the question is, what team goes after him after he gets reinstated? Now, there are already jokes floating around social media saying, well, not saying, they have a picture with a meme up, and it's Jerry Jones on the telephone saying, yeah, please connect me to Aldon Smith. That would be interesting to see if he could get not only Greg Hardy, but Aldon Smith down there in Texas. But that's a whole nother issue. If we jump into it, we jump into it. But, Chandler, your thoughts on the Aldon Smith situation right now, him being one of the better defensive linemen in the game, possibly could be out for the season, depending on what the NFL comes down with.
Well, you know, it's tough, man, because, you know, people talk about, oh, just go to go to another meeting. You know what? When you start making bad life choices, it's hard to stop. You kind of get into a situation where you're just spiraling, and you convince yourself that this time shit's going to be different, and it isn't. It's not different. It's the same thing. He's an addict, and he's alcoholic, whatever terminology you choose to use. That's a fact. I can't really kill him at this point because I'm not making the best decisions in my life right now. But I do know that just because he has talent to play football doesn't exempt him from the troubles of life. And right now, it's a life issue for Alden Smith. It ain't a football issue. It's a life issue. So what has to happen for him is, basically, he's got to get his life in order before he can do anything else. The 49ers, I remember we said when all this stuff first happened with them, they'd be lucky to win three games. I stick by that. They'll be lucky to win three games. But for Alden Smith, and this has to be at least a year suspension. I'm thinking that way, right? I'm thinking that this should be a Justin Blackmon type of deal where it's indefinite. And you don't let him back until he's got at least 1 year sober. Not 1 month, not 60 days, not 90 days, not 6 months. He needs a year sober before they let him back in this league. Because the fact of the matter is, Alden Smith is going to kill himself or someone. This is his third DUI. And so far, he's been real lucky that nobody else has been hurt. He is going to kill somebody behind the wheel, so they need to sit him down.
Now, Chandler, before I go back to Matt, what team do you think jumps at him? Like, is it a situation where you think Dallas will let him in the doors of the AT&T Stadium and let him be on the opposite side of the field from a Greg Hardy? Or do you think there'd be another team out there that might take a shot at him after his reinstatement, if that is the situation he's presented with?
I don't think Jerry Jones would touch him right now simply because he's not ready to be helped. Jerry Jones, with all the shots people taking him, has helped a lot of players in this league, guys that had all kinds of issues and then things that people don't know about. There's guys who got so behind financially that Jerry Jones literally paid all their debt. And these were guys that weren't star players. These were guys on, like, the bottom third of the roster, okay? And he paid off their entire debt and got them set up with financial management. So to take the shots at Jerry is to me is silly, but I don't think any team touches him right now. But I think there's only three organizations he can go to that would benefit him: Dallas, Pittsburgh, or the Giants. Those are only three organizations I can see him going to where he might have a shot at a stable organization and you know, some real organizational support.
And interesting that you threw that team out there. I wasn't even thinking about it until you said it, and you were actually here on the show when I actually introduced it, the New York Giants. And the reason why I throw the Giants out there, because of the 4th of July and what happened with Jason Pierre-Paul. And I know he's strong and he's a physical beast, physical nature, but now he's actually missing, you know, pieces of his hand. And who knows what type of output you're really going to get for him without some of his, you know, extremities, if you will. So this could be a situation once Aldon is reinstated, if they could get him out there on the field. That's a whole other situation in itself, especially with them watching Tuck leave and go to Oakland. Jason Pierre-Paul with his situation also right now. OCU, Mayorga leaving, Strahan retiring. I think they do and can use a guy like Aldon Smith, but it depends on when and how the situation happens during the suspension or he gets reinstated or if the NFL actually leave it alone. But right now, I think they have no choice but to actually do some type of suspension, whether it's, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 games. If they suspend him for a full season, I think he might end up contesting that. Chandler, anything else before I throw it to Matt? Okay. Matt, your thoughts on this situation?
I can't give as much kind words as Chandler does about Jerry Jones. The guy has more money than God. I mean, he can throw money at anybody, and you could say he helped anybody. I don't think he's a good person. I think I think he might run Dallas, Texas, but he's never going to run this country. But people think he's some great guy or whatever. He's just a scumbag owner. But as far as Alden Smith, where he's going to go, I would really hope as a Falcons fan, even like you said, as a partial Browns fan, that one of those teams would try to get him. But I know Arthur Blank, for a fact, would probably be against hiring someone like that, considering that he showed Michael Vick the door pretty quick and would probably never give Michael Vick a second chance to play in Atlanta. So Arthur Blank is not an option for Alden Smith. I could see maybe, believe it or not, the stereotypical teams, though. I could see Jerry Jones doing it, or I could see him going to the Raiders.
That would be interesting to see if the Raiders could get him in. Definitely with all of the issues that they're dealing with right now, trying to rebuild this team and get them back to relevancy in the AFC West. And I think probably one of the more heavier divisions with quarterback play with Rivers, Peyton. I'm not a big Smith fan. I'm not. I'm going to be brutally honest. I'm not big on Alex Smith, but he makes things happen, especially with a true. Well, at least that's how I feel. But that's our opinion. Some people actually are high on him, and people actually feel Alex Smith is a baller. But I feel like he's a game manager for that. That's a whole other discussion. We do have Nacho here. Yes, sir.
Oh, sorry, one last question. We'll get Nacho on. How many touchdown passes did Alex Smith throw last year? And also, I think Alden Smith's going to get a year because they gave Josh Gordon a year. So he will definitely have to appeal because he's going to get a year for sure.
I'm actually searching that right now. I don't know that offhand, but I am going to look that up to hold that in question. That is a good scenario on how many touchdowns he did throw. But what was the other question that you threw out there?
I think I was just making a statement that you said Alden Smith might get 8 months, but I think he's definitely going to get a year. And like you said, maybe he can throw it down to that. But the NFL is going to make a statement how they did to Josh Gordon. They're going to do the same thing to Alden Smith.
Okay, and he threw, and it's crazy, he threw 18 touchdown passes last year, none of which went to a receiver. So that was all probably Jamal Charles and tight ends that he threw touchdowns.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Okay. So that is an interesting situation, and I guess I don't know if he has confidence throwing the ball to receivers or what, but look, like I said, there's people that actually go to bat for Alex Smith, so I'm not going to just throw him under the bus, even though I can debate that with people that do support Alex Smith. I can. Okay, we do have Nacho at the round table. Nacho, welcome. How are you feeling this evening?
No, feeling all right. How y'all doing today?
Doing okay. So your thoughts on the Alden Smith situation? I mean, all in all, and especially what team, after he gets reinstated, who will make a move on him?
That's a hard question. We all know the likelihood of a talented player, no matter the outside problems in his life off the field. If you're talented enough, teams will look past that, regardless of what it is. Drugs, alcohol, beating women, whatever you have done or will do in the future, as long as it's off the field and you still perform on the field, a team will give you a chance. It's what we've been proven. It's what's been proven over the past couple years. So which team right now? I don't know. It's going to take a team with a strong organization that can deal with this, and it's almost like second nature where you know, it's not going to consume them. Something like this can definitely be taken care of by the head coach and that and a locker room, whichever locker room it may be. Sorry, hold on. Right now, the day he's released, it's hard for me to tell you which team I could see picking him up. I just can't think of any off the top of my head right now that I could think of this moment in time. That would be able to give him a chance, other than teams like maybe the Patriots, maybe the Packers, and maybe a team like the Broncos with locker rooms and organizations that could take something like this with excellent leaders at both the head coach and ownership spots. Those teams would be able to take this on.
give Allen the space, the time, the respect, and anything else he needs. Plus, his team, those teams aren't in a crutch to win, so they could take their time with an Allen and work him back into the system or whichever as quick as possible. Now, suspension-wise, I don't know what could come of this. We all know the new substance abuse policies that they have now as it pertains to weed. I don't know if that has lessened any to degree to drug to alcohol and DUIs or anything like that. But I've lost count of how many DUIs this guy's had and the amount of trouble he's been in because of alcohol. So I would really like to see him get this taken care of and get this problem/disease worked out. I mean, I was telling Ty earlier, does it take him actually killing someone in a car accident, actually physically injuring someone else, or God forgive him killing himself or severely injuring himself from doing the sport that he, you know, supposedly loves? So what's it going to take for him to get it? I think this hopefully could be the chance he needs by a team not even, you know, putting up with you for so long, not even 6 full hours after hearing, 12 full hours after hearing it, they're releasing you. I hope that's a wake-up call for this kid, young man, to get his life in order as it pertains to drinking and things of that nature. So he needs to get that underway before I think anyone or him in his camp or anyone else is thinking, you know, back on the field. Obviously, with the contract that was made up by him for him, it was very incentive based. Based on him being there, getting checks for basically being available, and for him to put his checks in danger, his livelihood in danger, his money in danger, goes to show that this is just a deeper problem than him wanting to go get a drink. He might have a serious disease/problem here with alcohol that he needs to get taken care of before he can even think about stepping foot onto an NFL field again. And hopefully this is that wake-up call. I would hate to see it be an injury or a death for that to be the wake-up call, but it seems as if that may be the only way at the rate it's been going, in and out of rehab, taking himself into rehab, and now this. I just can't see it. Now the suspension, whether it will be half a season, a full season, I don't know if he'll fight it, whatever the suspension will be. I don't see the good or any good in him fighting the suspension to come back any sooner. He needs to take whatever suspension is given to him, take the full brunt of it, go home, and fix whatever he can, the demons inside of him, before he steps back on the field. But like I said, we all know the talent this guy has. We all know what his production on the field can be, especially for a team like the 49ers. With all the talent they had over the past few years, with the exception of this one coming in, he's been an all-star, an all-pro, and, you know, whatever he can be when he's on the field, he is that. So we know what a talent he will bring. You know, this is simply a case of two different. Things in my case, different to two different people. The Aldon Smith on the NFL field, who we all know is a great all-pro and can be and could have been in a Hall of Famer, been there every second, every day he could have. He might have been a Hall of Famer in my eyes with a full lengthy career. And the man off the field who has this problem with drinking. So I think he needs to solve that before we can start talking about football. I think it's almost two different situations when we talk about Alton now. Like I said, it's going to be him having to take care of himself before the NFL comes in. But if he can do that, if it's a year and he takes all of 2015 off and he goes without an incident and he goes through rehab again, it may sound a little, you know, far-fetched to some people, but giving him another chance may not be the worst thing in the world if he can prove that he's turning it around. And from all intents and purposes, from everyone for the 49ers organization, he had been turning around. This is a surprise to everyone that I've heard or read about as it pertains to anyone close to Alden or in the organization. He had been turning his life around. He'd been doing the right things, and this is something of a shock to them. So this may be, you know, deeper than just football. He has to get those demons in order.
Hey, Nacho, you were talking about Willard taking killing somebody. Let's all remember Leonard Little, and let's all remember that he got a DUI after the DUI where he killed someone. So that sometimes doesn't even do it for those who are that deep in the bottle. Sometimes killing someone doesn't even do it. So the only thing we can do, like you said, is just hope that he gets his life together, man, because it's really not about football with this kid. It's really not.
You're right, exactly. And the thing is the talent was there. We all saw the Hall of Fame talent. So, you know, teams are going to want that talent back on the field. And we've seen over the past 2 years, no matter what you do off the field, if your talent's there, you know, you'll be able to get a job. So hopefully no team rushes back into this and tries to just, like I said, not take care of the problem and get him back on the field ASAP. You know, we might see something worse, and I would hate to see that.
Now, interesting enough, right, that we're throwing this around in substance abuse situation that's going on. He's actually denying the DUI situation, that he wasn't under the influence, right? But I had already pegged the situation for the past three seasons. I didn't know that he actually got in trouble with the law five different times within the three seasons. So I actually had to, you know, gain more knowledge of his situation. So this is where I think the NFL might have to levy, you know, some type of suspension if they do. But if he actually does come up with a situation where they don't have proof of him having, you know, alcohol in the system or what have you, because he's actually denying it, then does this play into the situation that they suspend him for DUI, or more or less put him into an awareness group, I don't know, or more or less of him vandalizing and having a hit and run? I mean, that is a significant and serious situation. I'm not overlooking it or poo-pooing it, but if he's not under the influence, does this negate them actually suspending him because he's not under the influence? That's what I'm looking at.
Todd, say that again. I didn't catch all of that.
Just say, because he's denying the DUI situation. He's denying that he was under the influence.
He's saying he wasn't drunk. He's saying he wasn't drunk.
Right.
The officer's saying that he's being obedient, but they're not. He's under suspicion of DUI. But more than likely,
right,
you know, he did it because look at his track record.
Exactly my point. So if they should have given him the test somewhere along the line so they can make sure that this is a DUI and makes this thing stick. If not, do they suspend him because there's no substance abuse situation?
That's why he left the scene, so they couldn't get his blood. I mean, he looks guilty as anybody.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to answer your question, but go ahead and finish your thought.
No. You can answer it because you got the gist of it. So proceed.
All right. Well, I mean, even if he's not drunk, he's still got to get suspended because it's still a violation of the personal conduct policy. He's still not doing what normal, regular people who are living a good life do. I saw some stuff on Twitter that this may have something to do with a girl that Kaepernick is dating and that he's trying to date and all of that. Listen, at the end of the day, for addicts and alcoholics, it's not always about you being drunk. It's about your behavior. It's about the behavior. And the behavior he exhibited is the same behavior he exhibited when he was drinking. So whether he actually had alcohol in his system or not, it's the same behavior. And that behavior is what's going to get him suspended.
Do you agree or disagree, Matt? And then I'll go to Nacho.
I got to wrap up here, but I'll say that, I'll say it's a certain type of behavior is definitely, it's alcohol related, and I think kind of funny he's trying to say that he wasn't drunk this time. And then, I don't know, Nacho also said that maybe the team said he's been doing a lot better, so if he has a case and he can fight it, well, he obviously can't get reinstated by the Niners, but if he gets exonerated somehow, which I doubt will happen, of the DUI, then I think right off the bat, maybe he deserves to maybe play the second half of the season or something like that. But I'm going to leave y'all. I enjoy talking to y'all. I'll be able to listen for a few more minutes, but that's probably the last thing I can talk on. Y'all have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Okay, so, Nacho, your thoughts on this situation, especially from what you heard up until this point, and also if he is able to dodge that DUI charge and they don't have significant information or evidence that he is under the was under the influence at the time of the accident and the vandalism situation.
You know, as it pertains to the Niners and their release, it happened so fast and so quick, you would have to assume that they had a talk with Alden and said, the next time you're in trouble with the law, regardless of the outcome or what happens, we're releasing you. We can't go through this anymore. You know, just the way and how fast it went about, you know, the message, he's in trouble, and then not even 6 to 12 hours later, he's released. That happening so fast to me has to say that the front office, Tom Sula and whoever else is in charge of this situation said the next time is the last time. Regardless if you're convicted, regardless of what happened, your next time is your last time. We've given you enough chances. That's what I think happened with the release. As it relates to the NFL, I think Chandler hit it on the head. Not necessarily if you're drunk or not, or even if the DUI charge sticks or not, you're doing the same things you were doing when you were drinking. The actions are still the same, and the motive behind it, you know, you may not have been over 0.8 drunk, but you were only 0.4 drunk or only 0.2 drunk or whatever. It doesn't make that argument to me isn't really that valid because you're still drinking. But if he does get, you know, off on, he was not, had no alcohol in his system, it was a hit and run, and he was more or less scared because of the consequences, knowing the next time he gets in trouble, he's off the team. That is something that, you know, may have been happening as well. But I still see the NFL giving him some sort of punishment. It may not be as harsh as a year at that point if there's no DUI charge and it's just a plain old hit and run with an accident happening. He was just scared, more or less, of, you know, of it happening, hit and run, scared of the consequences of the team, more or less, not the NFL, and ran. So the assumption that he's under DUI or assumption that he was, under the influence may not have been there or been valid, but the actions are still there. He's still doing the same old Aldon Smith stuff that he said he'd been working on. So I do believe there would be a suspension, not necessarily as harsh as if there would be a DUI. Maybe, you know, instead of a full year, it's only 9 to 10 games, which is still long, but it's not 16. So I still think there's punishment involved if there's no subsequent evidence that it is a DUI, but it's still a hit and run. He can't fake that. You know, you can't not have a hit and run on you. He did that. That's there. Regardless if he's drunk or not, he still did that. So I think he will get punished. The severity also, to me, the severity depends on if he was drunk or not.
True, and I totally agree. And the one thing that does bother me, and I kind of get the tail into this situation a little bit further, and I know I might ruffle some feathers and make people feel mad about this, but this is the way I feel. About people messing up their chances or their situation that they're presented with, or million-dollar talent washed down the drain. Now, Aldon Smith has been to, what, 3 different NFC championships, if I'm not mistaken. He lost twice. They got through one, getting to a Super Bowl, being one of the more efficient defensive ends coming off the edge. And I think a lot of that had to do with him having a bigger force on the other side of the field than Justin Smith. And this was actually him in a better situation to make a bigger claim for himself. And what if no team jumps at him? What if they still feel like this is a problem that they do not want to touch? What if he has basically been in front of the bottle, like Chandler said, and he can't get himself out of this situation? I mean, just like I said, I thought it was 3. But reading further into it, he's been in trouble 5 different times in the past 3 seasons. It's like, when does he see reform? Or do they get another NFL player that has been through a strong situation in front of a bottle or abusing some type of drug or some type of scenario that can help him, mentor him to do better in his life? What if he ends up watching this all just away, and he's not, you know, a considerable piece to any football team across the NFL. This is the one thing that concerns me, is that he won't end up playing again, even though I think he will. I think a team will take a shot at him. I don't think that he'll totally be out the way, but what if they don't? What if all of these managers, or GMs, excuse me, do not want to touch Aldon Smith at the end of the day? Chandler, I'll come to you.
Then he becomes a cautionary tale. He gets lumped in with the Lloyd Daniels and the, what was it, Leon Woods or Quintel Woods, the kid from high school, or name a kid that came to the NBA straight out of high school and it didn't work out for him, or he becomes Roy Tarpley. You know, he becomes David Thompson. You understand what I'm saying? He becomes that guy. He becomes Lorenzo Charles. He becomes a guy who's the cautionary tale, and that everybody hopes and prays that when they're telling this to some of these young players coming up, that they actually remember and listen and learn and say, they ain't going to cut me. I got too much talent. Nobody is indispensable. Nobody.
Okay, Nacho, your thoughts on this, if he is, or if he has played his final game as of last season in the NFL, not just as a 49er jersey, but altogether, probably have to take his talents to Canada and probably have to replay himself back into the NFL. But your thoughts of no team takes a shot at him?
You know, no team taking a shot at him is hard for me to believe, and I'll even go to the team I root for, and the fact that the Green Bay Packers have stood by, and I want to say it's three cases. I don't want to – let me just do two because I can't remember the third one off the top of my head. But Johnny Jolly and the lean problem he had, working through that and us staying by him the entire time, this situation with Detroit Guyon now and him with the marijuana, drugs, guns, money in his car, sticking by him – this is a team that sticks by players. I think the talent level of his is so much that if we have what we have now and a Julius Peppers and a Clay Matthews, and we bring in an Aldon Smith, there is no rush for him to get on the field. We could take care of him. We will be supportive. The entire city of Green Bay, no doubtedly, would open their arms to a talent like that, which is a kind of blind love, and so to speak, but I think they would open their arms to that kind of talent, knowing that we could, you know, hold him down and be the support that he needs. So, and just in that situation alone, I don't see, him not playing another snap. The talent level was just too high for me for 32 teams to pass him up and not give a chance on helping this man rehabilitate, even though I know the 49ers have tried for 3 years now to no avail. In this league, especially coaches and GMs are pride themselves on being able to take a problem case, turn it around, and make it beneficial to their team, especially with a talent like Aldon Smith. So, like I said, I can only speak for the Packers being my team and how much I follow them and seeing how much they have done for players who have been in multiple problems with the law, and how we've stuck by them and seen them rehabilitate themselves, in some cases make their way back onto the field. Now, none of them had the extreme talent level of Aldon Smith, but the fact that they were just there and we took care of them, I think speaks volumes to us as an organization being able to take in a player with problems. So, and we're not the only organization I know that has done that. I couldn't speak to any others on the level, because I don't think any other team has dealt with a player of this caliber like this, going through so much problems. But you get the gist. There are NFL teams that feel they could probably take this guy, rehabilitate him, and turn him around and get the production on the field that they want from him. So him not playing for the NFL again, I think it's hard for me to say right now, just because of what we've seen over the past couple of years, and your talent level kind of outweighs whatever happens off the field.
Okay, so Aldon, I'm going to let you rest, but there's no Sports City got a place for you here, man. Excuse me. And people are actually fighting for you to get back out there and play ball, man. But this is the one knock. I don't even want to say knock, but this is the one thing that I have to say about this, and hopefully you get the message. You probably won't. But I hope you leave that alcohol alone, because look at what it's doing to your career at this point right now. You are released. I know a team may make a jump at you, but if not, just like all of the names that Chandler has mentioned, think about all of the people that you probably grew up around in your neighborhood that sang the same song as every single city in America, those shoulda, coulda, woulda songs. Shoulda been this, coulda been that, but didn't. And you could be in front of the same situation, and just like Adrian Peterson said, life is way bigger than football. So before football, it's all about you first, Al Don. I hope you could turn this around because it's about your life at the end of the day. Now, another football topic before I start digging, even though I do want to talk about another problem individual, and I know I could more or less draw this toward Chandler. So Chandler, sit tight. So I do want to ask you about Patrick Kane's situation because it happened in New York, no less. No less, it did happen in New York with Patrick Kane. So everybody sit tight. I got an NHL, well, a problematic NHL player who just is off of another Stanley Cup being brought to New York. I mean, Chicago, excuse me. But, Chandler, I'm going to come to you anyway. Your thoughts on your new receiver in Game Green being Brandon Marshall. Now, we all know he doesn't shy away from a camera or a microphone. He's at a radio station in Chicago, and I was actually in Chicago hearing one of his shows. And at this time when it happened, I'm going to get a little biased and in myself, you know. It was after the Lions game, and he was on air pissed off. Now, he didn't call anybody out on the air while I was out there in Chicago, but now that he gets to New York, he tells all about the situation around Jay Cutler. Now, we all know that a lot of people don't like the way Cutler goes out there and plays ball, and if he has a bad game or he starts turning the ball over, everybody has a million cameras in front of the guy because he is a $100 million quarterback, and everybody has their personal gripe or opinion about that. I do, too. I'm not going to lie. I feel like he's a great quarterback. I won't say great. I feel like he's a good, manageable quarterback, but $100-something million for Jay Cutler? Anyway, so fact of the matter is, Brandon Marshall goes out there and says he was the only one in the Bears organization to make some type of comment toward Jay Cutler at the end of the day. Now, I guess if there's smoke, there's fire, and all of the situation that was going on with Cutler out there, still being able to play ball, them having to wait till, like, what, week 14, week 15 to put Clausens in the game and watch Cutler stay on the sideline. Your thoughts on Jay Cutler and his premier previous target and Brandon Marshall having a stat before the season starts?
Well, he answered a question, number one, that was asked. And I believe what he said, because if you look at Chicago, they did everything they could to cater to Jay Cutler, and nobody would ever mention the fact that the guy is terrible. He's terrible. He might have Hall of Fame talent, but he's not a great quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. He's a great talent that's never been realized if you really honestly assess his career. You look at the offensive weapons they had. Look how putrid they were. And so I don't have a problem with what Brandon Marshall said. What he didn't publicize as much is the fact that he said this is the last time he's going to discuss the Bears. So I don't really have a problem with anything that was said. I agree with what he said. You know, I've been killing Jay Cutler for years. For years I've been killing Jay Cutler. And I think what he said was spot on. I think the Bears, this is the first time that the Bears organization has brought a coach in that will actually bench Cutler if he keeps doing what he does, which is giving the ball to the other team. Look at the coaches they've had there. All of them were Jay Cutler apologists, not John Fox. So I believe in what Brandon said.
So you think if he's struggling or has one of those situations where Cutler, let's just say Cutler turns the ball over two or more times. I won't sit up here and say, like, the game that he's thrown three or four interceptions in the game. I'll be fair. Let's say he's had two critical interceptions where he blatantly threw the ball away. And it's happened several times. I don't think they'll pull the trigger on him in one game. I don't think that's fair. But if he does it several times, you think John Fox will sit him on the bench?
Absolutely. John Fox does not play favorites. He don't give a doggone how much you make. He don't care who you are. John Fox will tell you to go have a seat. John Fox will tell you to have a seat. And he don't care who you are. Look at the players he's gotten rid of since he got there. Right here, right? Look at the players he's gotten rid of. Brandon Marshall is an offensive weapon. John Fox said, I don't like the fact that you're doing this NFL Network thing or Showtime show. So if you want to do your show on Showtime, you can't be on my team. Right. Period. End of story. So John Fox don't care who you are, don't care what your name is.
You don't play right, you can go.
Okay, Mr. Silver, your thoughts on this situation around Cutler and Brandon Marshall? Like I said, if there's smoke, there's fire. Your thoughts on Marshall's latest comments on his former quarterback?
You know, I agree with the comments of Brandon Marshall. I'm with Chandler on that one and how Jay Cutler is. And I don't think we need to keep beating that dead horse to a pulp on how overpaid he is and the talent level could be there, but it just was never realized. To the point at hand of John Fox and being able to sit this man down and what have you, week one, I believe, is at home against the Packers. Week two is at home against the Cardinals. Week three is away at Seattle. Week four is at home against Oakland. And then week five and week six, we got the Chiefs and the Lions. Five of those six teams arguably could be in the playoffs. We could see Jay Cutler sitting by Oakland, which is week four. That's the realization. If he comes out week one and their defense lets another 50-burger out against us and we hold them and intercept him, then he goes to Arizona, can't do anything against that defense, and they're able to score multiple points with multiple interceptions and they win that game. And then we all know what Seattle brings. If they go on an 0-3 start with Jay Cutler throwing at least one interception in every game, I could see someone else starting for Chicago week four against Oakland. That's just how it will be if he continues to do the output that we've seen Jay Cutler play over the past couple of years. That's something that I can foresee and that I actually think can happen. If they're 0-3 with Jay Cutler not being the sole purpose, obviously that team's current construction is not one of the greatest, but with a great quarterback or a quarterback that can get the ball to these receivers and get the ball to a man in Matt Forte who quietly set the record for most receptions by a running back last year and who, for all intents and purposes, quite possibly could be the most underrated running back in the NFL, and Matt Forte, if he can get the ball to him, if he can get the ball to those receivers and win some games, obviously all this is out the window. But from what we've seen from Jay Cutler over the past 4 years, we could most likely be looking at a multi-interception game for the first 3 weeks, an 0-3 slide, and the $100 million quarterback that is Jay Cutler sitting on the bench watching some backup take snaps. Because if he doesn't fix what's going on, this could be the biggest problem for Jay Cutler, because John Fox isn't going to put up with that.
Now, it's interesting because I'm worried about them sitting $100 million quarterback. That, and personally, like outside of Sports City, y'all would hear me answer that differently. But just watching $100 million sit on the bench and him riding that exercise bike like in that NFC Championship game up against Seattle or, you know, stuff like that. Now,
that
interesting enough,
the
first game, you're right. That was against the Packers. Excuse me. Now, interesting enough, against the Packers in that first game of the season, the Packers have, you know, let some people go out of that secondary, so he might not see that pressure. But if Clay is back there, Peppers is back there, they could cause some mishap. I know Julius will love to sack his old quarterback, force a turnover, force a fumble, so what have you. But then after that, it makes it even more interesting, and I like that at least the first three games that Nacho mentioned. He has the Cardinals, who has one of the top five, top ten defenses in the league, especially their secondary, with all the mentionable names that they have there. In Seattle, well, the Legion of Boom speaks for itself, and it's in Seattle. So at least the first two games are in the middle of Chicago, but it's warm. It won't be cold. It's still summertime. But going to Seattle, dealing with the 12th man, I think that's where the issues will lie. But I don't think that he'll be sitting at least by week four against the Raiders. Even if he does have big-time turnovers, if you will, up until that point, against the Raiders, I think they have to let him get his mojo back in front of the Raiders, especially being at home. Because if he's at home against the Raiders and he's still turning the ball over, that's when I think you will see Coach Fox turn the cheek. But that's just me. I feel that type of way. I think Cutler probably has it mid-season, and at least week eight, week nine, before they actually pull the trigger on him. It's too much money involved in this guy. I think the GM will definitely step up and try to see as much as they can before they pull the trigger and get ready to trade him for another season or something, because they already questioned it at the beginning of this season if they should keep him there in Chicago, and while they stuck to their guns and kept him there, they wanted to kind of send him back to Tennessee, where he's from, and it didn't happen. So we'll see.
Hey, Ty.
Yes, sir.
You say week 9, right? I just read off the first 5 being Packers, and you went over Cardinals, Seahawks, Raiders, and then the Chiefs and the Lions. Then they also got the Vikings, the Chargers, the Rams, the Broncos, the Packers again, and we'll keep going. The Niners, the Redskins, the Vikings, the Bucks, and the Lions. This is hard for me to say that Jay Cutler's going to be able to get through 6-7 weeks. And you know, albeit us letting go some of our pieces, we all know the high-powered offense. He's going to have to go throw for throw so we can see him throwing more interceptions, not just because the defense is so good, but him trying to make something happen. And that's where I'm getting at. Not necessarily the defense he's facing is that good. He's just been that bad. And that's where I get to where you may even see after the Lions game and then they get Minnesota at home, that's 3 divisional games. If they're, God forbid, 8. So say they're 2-6. You know, by after the Minnesota game, being 0-3 in the division, I can see that. But I just really think that if he starts off those 3 games, albeit against some of the top competition in the NFC, if he starts off those 3 games and they're nowhere in it, I mean, we're talking massacres. That first game, obviously tied at halftime, ended up only being 38-37, 8-17 win. But that second win with the Packers, 50-something to 14 or whatever, that's that real Bears team, regardless of what you think about it. So that week 1, week 2 against Cardinals, who's a better team, and with Carson back, we all know the Seattle. So that's why I'm really saying, if he's not even showing up, I mean, there's just interception, bad call after bad call. That's why I'm saying week 4. I understand where you're going with week 9. It gives him more time, gives him some more play, divisional games under the belt. But I just really think early, if John Fox sees nothing, like no progression, just the same old Jay, I really do think week 4, week 5, we could see a new quarterback. And that $100 million tag could almost be meaningless to John Fox because he wants his team to win.
Okay, and looking at his cavalry, I mean, I'm still impressed with how they were able to replace Brandon Marshall, but Kevin White is injured right now, being a young talent out of West Virginia. So that's another thing that they need to worry about, but he still has Martellus Bennett. He still has Alshon Jeffrey. And Forte being one of the better, if not to me, probably the best receiving running back out of the backfield. I mean, there's debatable people. You probably throw Jamal Charles in there. I really can't rattle them off the top of my head. And of course, a couple of running backs could catch balls, but I don't think they receive as well as Forte. But he has some pieces still there. So we can't totally overlook what Cutler can do, but it's not like they can go and backpedal again to Jimmy Clausen. I don't think Jimmy Clausen could lead the Chicago Bears out of the NFC North. That's just me. Okay. I do have a topic that I want to ask Chandler before we get out of here. What about Patrick Kane and this newfound situation of everything that's swirling around him? And the police are now investigating Patrick Kane, a 26-year-old guy, had an alleged incident that happened at his house previously.
Well, one, this is his second run-in with the law concerning some sort of violence towards a female. That was an incident while he was in college, at a frat party, because, you know. And what bothers me about the coverage is this. If this were Evander Kane or Tyler Seguin or Sean Avery or one of these guys that nobody likes, they would have already buried that guy. Okay, they would have already buried him. Instead, we get people tiptoeing around it. Now, the fact is, it's all alleged. So I'm not going to bury him because it's alleged. He's been convicted. He hasn't been arrested. We don't know what happened. If this is true, Evander Kane needs to be sat down, just like the Los Angeles Kings sat down Slava Voynov with his domestic violence thing. They need to send a message. And Patrick Kane is one of the faces of the NHL. This is not right. Just some guy. Okay, it's not just some guy. This is one of the faces of the NFL. So if this turns out to be true, he needs to be dealt with. He needs to be dealt with harshly.
And I hope for his sake it's not true. But if it is, then they need to drop all of the hammers on him, not the hammer, all of them. And let's not forget that, you know, he's also assaulted cab drivers, you know, when he was drunk. So there's a lot of levels to this. Again, I'm not gonna crucify the guy because right now it's just allegations. And, you know, let's hope for his sake and a young lady's sake that it's just a misunderstanding. You understand what I'm saying? Let's hope for both of their sakes that this turns out to be a misunderstanding amongst two adults.
Okay, fair enough. I just wanted to hear you talk about the situation around Patrick Kane, just some NHL out of him, and especially in August. We are in the midst of, you know, Hall of Fame weekend and people getting inducted. They're saying that Sidney Say I will be speaking. The Hall of Fame game also Sunday night. The Vikings, if I'm not mistaken, up against Pittsburgh. I mean, all of the lights. So y'all stay tuned. I don't want to take too much away from what we'll have for the weekend to come, especially for the brunch. But I do want to wrap up here at the roundtable. We definitely got in depth around the Al Don situation. Brady being laughed at by Ron Wolf. Ron Wolf laughed at him in front of Goodell. That's going to be interesting to see if that heatens up. But we'll keep a close eye on that, Sports City. Y'all get ready for these dishes. I need plugs and closeouts from the both of you as we get ready to shut down this roundtable. I'll start with you first, Nacho. Plug anything, promote whatever we need to do here in the kitchen at the roundtable.
At Nacho in the Box, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Sorry for running a little late. Thank you guys for letting me come in and say my piece about Aldon. I hope the guy gets his stuff together and works it all out. The whole NHL thing, I don't know too much about Patrick Kane, but I do know this. If the Arizona Coyotes don't figure something out and stop getting bullied by the government and by the NHL itself, I'm going to be highly upset. This is a team, obviously, that hasn't gone anywhere, that hasn't done much in the playoffs. But this is my team. I've grown to like them. I've grown to know hockey because of them. And if they were to take this team away and send it to Vegas, albeit a great vacation for me to take multiple times a year, I just would not like it. So let's just keep the Coyotes in Arizona. Hopefully we can get this together. I know the fan base isn't that strong. I know playing a sport on ice in the desert isn't the smartest idea. But when we were good, we did fill the stadium. So hopefully this team can get their act together, get better players, and get on the ice and get some wins and get a following. I mean, everyone would like to be the Arizona Diamondbacks in their fourth year of existence, win a World Series title against quite possibly the greatest closer in MLB history, against one of the greatest franchises in MLB history. We would all wish to start our new beginnings in a new area like the Diamondbacks. But the Coyotes, I just really hope that they can stay here. I just don't want them to go. I don't, you know, I'm not highly in love with them. I'm not going to get a Coyotes tattoo or anything like that. But like I said, if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't be so much into the sport of hockey as I am now. With that being said, I know money's money and business is business. So I'll be, if they move to Vegas, you're not going to see any tears shed. I just would like to see the Coyotes stay here. And as for the Arizona Cardinals, I live here. I live in this state. But this whole chatter that Carson being back automatically makes you the best team in the NFC is hearsay. These local radio shows, these fans, these local people, I get it. You're excited. You're going to have a quarterback. He might be a little healthy, but you know, calm it down. You're not even the best team in your division. So let's just pull those rein backs and hopefully we can get that on some gridiron shows. Again, Food Fight, I don't know when we'll be back. You know, on Saturdays, I know Ty's got this Gridiron Chefs going on Saturday, so we'll figure out that. Definitely want to get into Canelo Cotto. I want to get into this Andre Berto and that guy he's fighting. And then anything else you want to get into, Food Fight, come take a listen and let us know. There's some great up-and-coming fights and fighters going on. So PBC, Free Boxing for all that good stuff, Showtime, HBO. They've got some good lineups for us coming up, so keep an ear out for that. You know, stick with the sportscity.com and all that good stuff. We'll let you know when the Food Fight comes to fruition and more once again. And then on that note, hashtag back-to-back MVPs, and let's do it.
Wait, the guy that he's fighting, okay, I won't say the name. I won't say the name because I got in trouble the last time I did it. The last time I did it, I got in trouble. And secondly, if the Coyotes leave Phoenix, why would you be mad? Why would you be mad? Come meet me. Come meet me. I won't even, sports, I'm going to keep it as tasteful as possible. I won't even, he know where he can meet me at. I stay there every December. They already know where they can find me at. Okay, Mr. Knight, welcome back to the round table. I need a plug, close out, anything that you like to promote as we get ready to shut it down here in Sports City.
Well, I find it interesting that we're just going to gloss over the Arian Foster thing. Because yet again, he's hurting. For all you people who are jumping up and down talking about the Texans, this is the Texans year, Clowney and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And when I said the Texans would be terrible, the Texans are going to be terrible because Arian Foster cannot be counted on for anything. He gets hurt every year. You cannot count on him. So stop with all the Texans talk. Please stop.
Okay, okay, quickly, 5 minutes. I'll give us an extra 5 minutes. They are saying, and I'm sorry that I didn't miss this for it. I'm sorry. And I could have saved this for the brunch. They are saying that he can miss 3 months. It's like, what the heck? Now I already know that he was injured, but I didn't know the time table. Well, they're saying that he can miss 3 months. So you mean to tell me that he's going to be back in November and they don't have Tate anymore in that backfield? Like, so... No more Andre Johnson. I understand that defense is going to be stout, and depending on if these guys stay healthy. But there are issues right now, Arian Foster, and things that are swirling around him, too. I'll let you touch on that, and we still have Nadir, too. So I'll let you clean that one up, and then we'll get it closed out. Well, no, wait, first, I'll let Nacho speak. Nacho speak on it, then I'll let Chandler clean up on it. Your thoughts on Arian Foster.
You know, real quick, Arian Foster, we went over it, I think, at the cookout, and I told you that if he's back by week one, this could be something the Texans can overcome, being now that it's 3 months and how long it's going to take them to come back. Their season might all but be shot. He was one of those weapons that they needed to come through and help them out and get points on the board so that defense can keep them in games. Without that, it's hard for me to put the game, to put this team on one of those quarterbacks' shoulders, so... It's pretty bad for the Texans.
And I'm trying to do this as quick as I possibly can, Sports City. I'm trying to – okay, here it comes. Okay, and his backup is Blue. Your boy Blue is his backup, Alfred Blue. And he's had decent success. I mean, 528 yards, 2 touchdowns. But I'm not looking at this guy to shoulder the load. Chandler, your thoughts? Outside of the fact, they're saying potentially Arian can miss up to 3 months. Do you think they stick with Blue or the guys behind them, or do they go out there and pick up somebody that's available to try and pick up snaps at the running back position?
Are you talking to me or Chandler?
Chandler Knight.
I didn't hear the question. I heard you talking about something about carries and something. You were going so fast, I just lost you.
Okay, do you think they stick with Alfred Blue being his backup, or do you think they go out there and pick up a running back that may be available that they could bring in here and pick up snaps at the running back position? Chandler, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I think that no matter who they put, first of all, they brought in Joe McKnight when they found out Foster was hurt. That should tell you all you need to know. I think their running game is going to be terrible. Alfred Blue, you're not my boy, Blue. So I think they're going to be terrible. Okay? They're going to be terrible. Just the mere fact that they brought in Joe McKnight, who couldn't get on the field for the Jets when all we had was Bilal Powell. And I love me some Bilal Powell, but come on, son. You couldn't beat out Bilal Powell for time, and that's who they brought in, with Joe McKnight. So, nah, the Texans are going to be terrible. They're going to have a good defense once again, and their offense is going to suck because for some reason they want to keep counting on Arian Foster. And I say it every summer. Well, this year he's going to stay healthy. No, it's not.
Okay, I think you need to watch your tone talking about that Powell last name, okay? Just chill out, because he's trying his best for that doggone organization. He's trying his best. No, let me stop. I'll be wanting to see him break out, but every single run I see him, they basically running him up the middle. He's not a power back. That's what don't get me started on gangrene, and especially Bilal. I don't think he gets the opportunities, but that's just me. We could go into depth with this with Chandler, and you know, in the brunch. We'll bring up the gangrene in the lunch. I'm not right there in the brunch, excuse me. But cityshefs.com, check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We got the Gridiron Chefs on deck. I don't know if we interrupt things for the Hall of Fame situation, but I definitely know we'll be in depth on the brunch on Sunday. So y'all stay tuned to every single page that we got, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on Twitter. We got y'all. We got to put these recipes together. We are back focused, and it's starting to get interesting in the world of sports. Y'all stick with us, man. We got a lot of food for thought. Hopefully all of y'all out there can do these dishes. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again, and if they don't know, now they know.